doing Yirmiyahu Perek Zayin. Lisa's teaching this, so I decided to, we're learning a little bit of this. So, a few psukim we came across which are interesting. So, Perek Zayin, Pasuk Tasvav. So it says, it's talking about, it's really Tazayin, but it's basically Hashem saying he's going to destroy them, destroy the Mikdash, he's going to really do bad stuff to them. Okay, and he tells Yirmiyahu, Hashem tells Yirmiyahu, Ve'ata, and Tazayin, Ve'ata al tispal ba'ad ha'amazah. And you, Yirmiyahu, don't daven for this people, for this nation. Ve'al tisa ba'adam rina v'svila. And don't raise for them different types of tefillah. Ve'al tifka bi. And don't try to like reach out for me. Don't claim anything for me. Ki en eni shemeosa, because I'm not going to listen. Okay? So don't try. I know what you're going to do. You're going to try the tefillah route. Don't do it. I'm not going to listen. Okay? So that's ultimately, I guess that's a question to answer. Like, well, why is that? What's wrong with tefillah? Then it says, Ha'incha roa, and that seemingly this is explaining a little bit. Ha'incha roa, ma'im olsen bar yuda. Don't you see what they're doing in the street, in the cities of Yehuda, uvechutzus Yerushalayim, right on the outskirts of Yerushalayim, habanim alak demetzim, the children are picking wood, gathering wood, avos mevarnas aish, and the fathers are lighting the fire, v'anashim lashos butzik, and the women are kneading the flour, the dough, la'asos kavanim. To make like cakes, star-shaped cakes, for the queen of the heaven, for the sun. To pour libations to other gods, in order to make me angry. Do you think they're angering me? It's just themselves. For the shame of their face. Okay, and therefore God says he's going to do a lot of bad stuff. Okay, and it keeps going. So, what he's saying is, basically, don't daven. Okay, they're very, 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 very bad. Don't daven. Alright? I'm not going to listen. So, I guess my question is, like, tefillah is, usually we say, there's always a place for tefillah. God doesn't want, ki lo echbots mos ames, ki meshuvu midarka v'chaya. God doesn't want the Rasha, the mace, to die, but he wants him to do tshuva and to live. So why is Hashem saying, forget about it, don't daven, there's no place for it, I'm not going to listen to you, just stop it. Don't even think about it, right? It seems like an extreme type of thing, right?
And it also seems pretty extreme that, like, the last part of the pasuk says, king, and not king, and he showed me I was off.
Right.
Like,
right.
Not even to listen.
Right, exactly.
Like, you could have Hashem listening, you know, say, daven, and I'll listen, but I won't necessarily say yes.
You're right.
He's saying, I won't even, there's no chance.
Right.
I know,
I didn't really pursue that, but it's a good question. But Moshe Rabbeinu Hashem said, and now leave me alone, and I'm going to destroy them. And then Rashi says, Moshe says, apparently it's up to me. If I don't leave them alone, if I ask Hashem, then he'll save them. So he took that as an invitation to daven. Right? Because he's asking Moshe to leave him alone. The implication is, if he doesn't leave him alone, then he'll actually do something.
I remember
you did
Yashira that one.
Oh, did I?
Yeah.
Okay.
I remember that. Really? That was one of the earlier ones.
Oh, really? But this is a little bit different, though. Because here, he's saying, don't do it because I'm not going to listen. Like, I don't think that's what Hashem said by Moshe. He just said, and now leave me alone so I can destroy them. that implies, like, I don't want you to stop me from destroying them. But implying he could stop from destroying him, and I just don't want you to. Right? But here, he's saying, leave me alone, don't daven, because I'm not going to listen. And I don't think he told that to Moshe Rabbeinu. Like, it's interesting. My Moshe Rabbeinu, it seems like he was subtly conveying to Moshe Rabbeinu that he should daven. But it doesn't sound like it's going on here. And he didn't, you know.
It's a little bit of like Saddam.
Right.
Hashem is like sort of meaning himself as like outside of the situation and like pulling Abraham in a way, like also
right.
to the outside.
And making it
like
mm-hmm.
there's really no hope here.
Right. Himself. Right. It's true. We see Abraham like negotiated a little bit, right?
Yeah, but here like daven, it's almost like Hashem senses that yeah. the Navi will try to like right. involve himself and daven and negotiate with people.
Right. Right, but he didn't tell Abraham not to negotiate. He just said, I'm going to destroy them, and then Abraham did negotiate. Here he's like saying, is don't even, you know, that's what's interesting. Don't even try. Now, there are some times where the Navi says, someone pointed out this, the Navi sometimes says, you know, I don't care, your tefillos are like abominations and your karbanos, and I don't need them and all that, you know? But the thing is, that's by Rishayim. That's him telling, the Navi telling Rishayim, if you guys are so bad, your tefillos are like you think you're buying off Hashem, you know, all that kind of stuff. There's nothing. It's they're corrupt tefillahs and they're corrupt karbanos. That I don't have a problem with. I mean, I have a problem with them, but I understand that. But here is Yirmiyahu's. Yirmiyahu presumably his tefillahs aren't going to be corrupt. Nothing wrong with Yirmiyahu's tefillahs. He's a big tzaddik. So why is he telling, you know, of course, you can tell a Rasha that you're trying to daven to Hashem and you're really totally corrupt and you're really just trying to pay lip service and you're not really, it's fake and that God doesn't care about you davening. God wants real truth. But Yirmiyahu, presumably he's a tzaddik. He's not a problem, so he could do a good tefillah. But Hashem is saying, don't forget about it. It's not going to help.
Is it maybe a push for Yirmiyahu to go to the people and talk to them? Either because Hashem knows that there's still a chance Yirmiyahu could convince them to do tshuva, and he wants him to spend more time on that, or because Yirmiyahu's particular strengths were not so much in tefillah, but more in kind of being the kara of the people to do avodas Hashem and to leave avodah zarah and follow him, you know.
I don't know. I mean, presumably he knew how to daven. In general, I don't see why. I mean, I don't know much about Yirmiyahu, but I don't see reason to think that he's not a good davener. I mean, he has those strengths. You know, like, I don't see why. And they're not mutually exclusive. You could say, go do the people, give them mussar, and also daven. You know? It sounds like he's saying, listen, I'm going to destroy them. Don't daven, but give them mussar. It's like, do daven, it's like, that's it. Something's going to happen. There's no way out of this. What's that?
Maybe. Oh, sorry.
Go ahead, yeah.
I was just thinking, because we daven all the time with, you know, the prayers don't necessarily get answered. So maybe it was something that, like, maybe it was supposed to be some kind of a message to the people by him not davening. Would they know necessarily if he davens or not?
I don't know if they would know. I'm not sure. You mean, was this publicized?
Yeah, I mean, so what would be, like, wrong with him davening if it's not going to be answered? Because we, like, do that all the time.
Right. But it could be we do it because we don't know if it's going to be answered. But here Hashem's telling him it's not going to be answered, so you're wasting your time. Like, we, you know, we don't really know if it's going to be answered or not. That's why we do it. Like, a parent can tell a kid, listen, stop asking. The answer is no. And it depends on the parent, but sometimes they really mean it. They say, listen, you're wasting your time, you're wasting your breath, you could cry or whatever it is, but bottom line is, the answer is no. So, like, what's the problem if you do? I don't know, you're just wasting your time. Don't do it. It's not going to help. And it could be he's teaching him. He's teaching him, this is not a place for tefillah. It's not going to work. So, arguably, he's explaining to Yirmiyahu why. Right? I mean, that's what follows. Don't you see what's happening in the streets of Yehuda, in the cities of Yehuda, in the outskirts of Yerushalayim? The kids, the fathers, the mothers. And then some of the first ones say, I mean, it's almost plain shot. But it's like they're as a team. All the household is involved. Right? To try to do this, this Avodah Zarah. Right? Okay. So why is that, like, so bad? So bad, you know? Sounds like that's, you know what I mean? I'm saying it seems like we don't understand why he's saying don't daven. Arguably, he's trying to explain himself a little bit. Hashem's explaining himself to Yirmiyahu. Don't you see? You know? He's like showing him. But, you know, it's not clear why that answers the question, but it does sound like it's addressing it at least.
Maybe now it's saying that, like, the fact that it's across all generations is kind of becoming, like, so ingrained in them to do this Avodah Zarah that it's just being, like, passed on to their children in kind of a way that we passed on the Torah, that now they're being raised to do this instead. That could be, like, a total, you know, a big threat to Torah and, you know, changing everything.
Right, okay, good. So therefore, don't daven, because... You're saying good, but I'm just asking you to go a little further. But you're
yeah. I don't know. What I'm thinking. I don't know. I guess, like, I mean, I'm still confused why he would tell them not to daven at all. But it's kind of, if they're going to be davening for the wrong, for if everything's wrong, and they have to recognize the priorities, right? Maybe they're even davening for the wrong thing. I don't know. Like, I guess maybe Yirmiyahu has to think about what he's going to be davening for, or.
Yeah,
I don't
know. Right. Maybe the act of your Yirmiyahu davening would be seen by people who are so corrupted as something that is, like, because they're so involved in Avodah Zarah,
mm-hmm.
then maybe the act of actually davening to Hashem could be damaging in some way. Like,
mm-hmm.
I'm not exactly sure why, but
right,
it seems like if there's a connection between these two psukim, then maybe it's like...
Right.
Don't do this because you see what they're doing.
Right. Okay. I hear you.
They might think that he's doing something in connection to what is also that would be encouraging to them.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, so that's what I was thinking. I think it's a little similar to what Lauren is starting to say, but it's taking a little further. But that when we daven to Hashem, like apparently, according to strict justice, the people deserved to be punished, right? To be able to make this destroyed, right? But tefillah typically is where you're asking Hashem for rachamim. Right, he's saying is, even though we don't technically deserve it, but we're asking to have rachamim, for Hashem to extend his rachamim and to not carry out whatever negative decree, right? Which we deserve, but we reach out to Hashem for rachamim, right? Okay. Now, the question is, what's the purpose of Rachamim? Why is Hashem Rachem on us? Is it just to be merciful? So I would argue is that mercy is basically, even though technically we deserve punishment, but God is a Merachem and He gives us another chance. He says, listen, I know you messed up, but just to destroy you, it doesn't serve a purpose, but rather let's give you another chance and give you the ability to be able to write things without having to exact the full letter of the law. Technically, we don't deserve that, but God is a Merachem. But the point of Rachamim isn't just for the sake of Rachamim, it's Rachamim for our good. It's not good for a person just giving Rachamim, right? It's the idea that you're giving the person another chance. They're on a bad path. You just get destructive, just keep doing Rachamim, they're on a bad path, and they need to get off that bad path. So the Rachamim is saying, listen, you deserve Onesh, but God's Rachamim. Right? So Rachamim will only work if there is a chance of the person turning around, learning the lesson. You appeal to the person's, and as the point is to get the person to actually do teshuva. Okay. So now the thing is like this, is that when a person is a sinner, so usually the way it works is that there's two sides of their personality. There's a part of them which is wants to do the good. And then there's another part of them which is drawn after evil, whatever it is. And they're in conflict. And the sinner chooses evil over good. They decide to ignore the part of them which is done to do good. And they always overpower by the part of them that says do evil. And then the way you could have rachamim on the person is you could appeal, say, listen, you deserve misa or whatever it is, but you appeal to the part of them which wants to do the good and you try to draw that out and to give them a chance to appeal to it. That this is leading you to the negative, follow the other side of you. Okay? Go the other way. But it could be there comes a point where it's like the entire personality, and this is what similar to Lauren is saying, is like your entire personality, everything, is geared in the wrong direction. You're not even in conflict anymore. It's like you could talk to a person who's in conflict, and then you could appeal to that part of them, which feels guilty, feels shame, feels whatever. But here, it's like they're in the streets of Yerushalayim. They're not doing it in private. They're not secret, hiding out and whatever. They're in the streets of Yerushalayim itself. Families, mothers, fathers, children, baking cakes for the sun god or whatever. It's like there's no shame. It's like the entire structure, the entire family structure in the year, in the most public place, is totally without any shame whatsoever. So saying that, there's no part of them. If they would feel even the slightest attachment to truth, to Hashem, to Tzavot to Hashem, then they would never be able to do such a thing. But it's like they're all in terms of their corruption. The fact that they could do such a grievous thing shows that they've already gone all the way. And if that's the case, there's no way to reach them. That's what it's saying. The Rachamim is just going to stop give them another chance. It's not going anywhere. They've already gone too far. They've turned off any part of them. There's nothing holding them back, even in the slightest. So that's what he's saying, is I'm not going to listen. Because listening to tefillah means giving them another chance. It would be like, as a mashal, like if you're in a school, a parent or a principal, let's say a principal gives a kid deserves punishment, so the principal is going to punish them. Parent says, please, they beg, please, fine, please, I will give them another chance. Then they do it again, please, There comes a point where the kid shows zero remorse. It's totally, totally, blatantly against the rules in 100% way. There's no point. There's just to give them, the mercy is to say, listen, why do I need to punish you? I might as well fix things in a more straightforward way. But sometimes the only way to get through the person is you got to suffer the consequences. That kid in the school has to, it's just like there's no part of them which feels anything. If you punish them, if you expel them, you suspend them, whatever the case is, then they'll realize this is unacceptable. They'll have to suffer the consequences which results from the types of decisions which they're making. Then part of them will realize that there's something wrong with what they're doing. Klal Yisrael, if you're going to keep giving them rachum, 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 and then they're never ever going to learn. They're so, so steeped. He's let them slip. He's merachim on them, and they got worse. Merachim, they got worse. They've gotten so bad. There's nowhere, it's not going to help them anymore. So now the only thing which could work is to destroy the mikdash, to throw them out, to let them suffer the consequences of their chet. And only then could they start realizing, oh no, now we're in trouble. But thinking Hashem is with them, and maybe this is a later point, thinking Hashem is with them and davening to Hashem, well, that makes them feel like they're somehow close to God, God's being merachim on them. That's like they're taking advantage. Like you can't keep doing that because it's not going anywhere. So they have to realize, no, their sin is causing God to not be with them. Their sin is causing God to destroy them. This is totally corrupt. This is totally unacceptable. And they have to, only after the painful tzaros of galus, of tragedy, of korban, could they regroup and reconfigure their values in line with truth. So that's what he's saying, is now they reach the point, don't daven. Because davening is asking for rachman. I think there's a chazal, says, kol vishem bo dasein rachman malach. You need das to have rachman on a person. You just have rachman on a person. They don't have any das. They're not going to learn. There's no stama mitzvah just to give rachman for the sake of rachman. Right? Which is, I think, true lesson in life in general for parents. I think the idea is if the mercy should have a purpose, you're ultimately looking out for the person's best interest. Just to stam, never do din, isn't good for a person. Sometimes din is necessary. So rachman is good if it will help them, love the person, but just stop to be a merachim because you feel bad or because you feel compassionate. But that's not good for a person. The person sometimes has to suffer consequences of what they do. So they don't always have to. Sometimes a stern warning and a rachim will do the job. Sometimes the din is necessary. You know?
But just back to the nature, like why Hashem is saying this to Yirmiyah?
Mm-hmm.
Is he saying, like, it would be a waste of your time? Or is he saying...
It's like, a good question. I'm not sure. It could be he's teaching him. I mean, it could be he's showing him. He's a Navi and he's showing him this is what's happening. Don't daven. And he's teaching him a concept in tefillah, teaching him a concept about din, about the level of the people, about rachamim. So it's like a lesson. I don't know if that's Hashem's going to have to respond. I mean, if he's saying he's not gonna. He's just saying to Yirmiyahu, don't waste your time. And he's showing him a concept. This is a limud for Yirmiyahu. There's a time comes where you have to accept the fact that this is where they're at. You know? Like the same lesson we're learning, arguably he was teaching that to Yirmiyahu. And he's telling him, now this is the time. Look at these actions, look at these things, you know? And in theory, he was the Navi who was there to try to help them out and to try to bring them back to the Tov. Yeah?
Was Hashem saying this to Yirmiyahu, who was the only the entire rest of the nation, or is it possible that there were other people that...
Elisa?
Yeah, I don't know. My definitely not all that. I don't know, but I think that it was mostly everyone. From the Yirmiyahu, it seems like almost everyone, pretty much everyone was involved in some of it, except a few people, him and there was one other Navi at that time. I forgot his name.
But it could be they were a closet. Maybe
a few individuals, but yeah, the majority of people were... You know, the people in power were doing what they were.
So,
they were.
So Yirmiyahu and the other Navi and whoever else were hidden tzaddikim were punished for the korban with the rest of Klal Yisrael.
Mm.
That must be horrible.
There was a group of people who were exiled earlier, that said the Chachamim. They were exiled before the korban, and they were on a higher level. They were able to establish communities in Galus and Babel for them. So they were, I guess, the people who were more righteous were exiled earlier.
They recognized
them. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, good. Any questions? How are you guys doing on the phone there?
So does it mean that they were exiled by the country they were living in, or that they realized there was no hope for the community anyway, and they decided to leave?
No, they didn't decide. They were taken out. They were... Nebuchadnezzar came and just took a group of people out earlier before the korban, before the whole base of English was destroyed.
And they were higher level people?
And they were the higher level people. They were the, I forgot how it refers to them, the gatekeepers or something.
How did he know to get them?
What?
How did he know to take them?
It just happened, it was Ashkacha that he took them forward.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. I mean, they didn't get killed and whatever.
Right. Yeah, they weren't involved in the atrocities.
Okay, good. So then a little further, one other further point. So then it says like this. He says to them, he says, they're doing this stuff, l'man hachisini, in order to anger me. And then he says, ha'osihem hachisim? No, Hashem. Hashem says, are they really angering me? Hello, osam. So I'll hold it to them, l'man boshas p'nayim, for the shame of their faces. So there's a very nice, I think the psukim are nice. It's plain pshat, almost plain pshat, but I mean, the psudos and then the radak explain this very nicely. They say, or Mitzvah David, for instance, he says, Osi b'chi ha-ka'as, I'm sorry, l'man ha-chiseni. Maybe we should do that the first time, Mitzvah David, on the previous pasuk. In order to anger me, Ratzalom, yodim him shein to'as v'avodasam. They know that there is no benefit in their avodah. I will call ma'aseim l'chiseni, but they're just doing all their actions to anger me. So, that's interesting. Really?
It's really
it's a strange type of a thing to do. Saying is they know that Avodah Zarah is not going to do anything for them, but they're just doing it to anger Hashem. Like, what's the sense of that? I mean, that's what it sounds like he's saying, but it sounds like that. L'man hachiseni, in order to anger me. But what's the? Is it really, it sounds strange. Really, you know.
Isn't there a concept that well, Abdu Yisrael Avodah Zarah will have your land. Sarayos, like the only reason they brought Avodah Zarah is because they wanted to be able to do things that were forbidden.
Okay.
Well, this contradicts that concept. It's like they're doing it specifically to anger Hashem.
Right.
But getting no benefit out of it.
Right. Right. So how do we explain that? You think people don't just do things like that? What do you guys say? Do you know anyone who does anything just to anger another person? Does that happen?
If they're kids.
Exactly, right? That was my example also, right?
Yeah.
Siblings do that, right? Okay, to you or to your kids, to each other?
Each other.
How about to you?
Oh yeah, of course.
Of course, right? Okay. So it seems like there is an idea. It's like there's such a thing as a rebelliousness, right? There's an idea of a person who's rebellious. Right? Imagine kids, right? Kids are an example at all different ages, right? High school kids, whatever. They do things specifically because they know how to push the buttons of their parents or the authority or the principal or the teachers in school, right? As why? For no, what do they get out of it? Nothing really other than they satisfy their rebelliousness. There's like a part of a person which rebels, which doesn't want to be under an authority, which wants to be free, independent, and does actions which are self-destructive. They're not, like a lot of times these actions which a person does against authority are not benefiting the person themselves. They're purely for the sake of rebellion. I mean, sometimes rebelliousness actually gives you something, but other times it's just non-rebelliousness. Right? Like Aaron was just telling me, he told the Masur, his students, he says that, he's told them, like, he's talking to them about rebelliousness and like how this could be good, rebel a little bit or not, it's just to blindly accept authority. But he said you have to be like intelligent about your rebelliousness. It's like if you're going to rebel and not learn, like learning is good for you. Like that's stupid. Like you have to like at least you want to rebel and don't wear a certain dress code or I don't know, who cares? You know, whatever, who cares? It doesn't matter. So you say, well, you don't have to blindly follow every single rule that exists. But at the same time, if your rebellion is going to cause you to harm yourself, then it's stupid. You got to be intelligent about your rebelliousness. But like rebelliousness is blind. It doesn't care. Like you do things that, if you know the authority wants you to do something, then you'll rebel against it, even though it's not going to benefit you, and it may even be better if you didn't listen to the authority. But no, I'm not going to be told what to do. So it sounds like so he's depicting. It's like they're not. It's almost like maybe the reason why they did Avodah Zarah at some point was because they thought it was going to be Matan Arayos or whatever reasons. But you see, that sounds like the pasuk is saying they got into a point where they're like doing it purely because they want to throw off the yoke of Hashem. Like there's Hashem is in charge, and they're los alachos, and they don't want it. Like they don't, they're restrictive, and they don't like the restrictions, and they're just going like specifically like lachas, to go and to rebel, you know, for the sake of rebelliousness, like to anger Hashem. So there is a phenomenon like that, but that's like an extreme. Okay, so what does the Navi say back? So then it says Hashem says, "Osi hey machi isim no Hashem." Are they angering me? So Ben Sisdov says, Ratzalom, Rechi Akazu Bavuri, is anger for me? Kolomar, Rechi Masem Azikinli, are their actions harming me? Hello, Akaz Yazik Lahem? The Akaz angers them? I mean, harms them? Ki Yelahem, Laboshas Luchim, because it's for them an embarrassment. Okay, so let me see again. The Radak explains more. He says, Ha'osi Hemosan Achiseni, Rechisvor Mem, do they think Shem Achismosi, that they're angering me? Because it doesn't, I don't have, I'm not affected by the midah of anger. Lo midah charas? Or any trait, any character, any like character trait. Einon machisim osi, not angering me, ala atzmam, just themselves. Ki alem yachol akas achronach. The anger is going to fall upon them. I'm not getting angry, but they're going to receive actions of anger. The man boshes b'nayim. So he says, "Sheyavoshu b'maisayim." Aron, they're going to be embarrassed by their negative actions. Ki ani ein roi she'achas maisayim. I am not. It's not fitting for me to get angry at their maisim. Afilu tachol bishamida. Mashelo tachol. Saying is like it's not fit for me to get angry, even if some mida would apply to me, which isn't. Ki lo yazak is equally maisayim. Because they're not damaging me. I think he's saying like this. First of all, I don't get anger. I think he's saying, first of all, God doesn't have a midah of anger. But he's saying, even the Yitzhar, there would be such a thing. But it's not like they're harming me. Even if God would, so to speak, get angry, it would be because they're harming him. But they're not harming me. There are bad actions that don't harm me, and their good actions don't benefit me. Like Eliyahu said to Eov, if you sin, what could you act on him? Rabu Pashacha, and if you have a lot of sins, rebellious sins, Matazalo, what could you do to him? O Mai Miyadcha Yikach, Leish Kamocha, Leish Kamocha Rishacha, Leven Adam Sinkacha. Or what could he take from the hands of a man like you? Your badness, or your evilness, or your goodness? I don't know, you have to look at the puzzle, I don't know exactly what it means, but something like that. Umashamar b'Torah, the Torah says, ki asuni behevlayim. The Torah says, they angered me with their nonsense. Hey, yachsuni b'psilayim. And they angered me with their, the psilim, their avazorah. There was our version of the Torah speaks in man's language. Avalhu yisbarach ein bo midas kas. He doesn't have the midah of anger. Avalu p'chisos amidas. Amitzis b'nei adam kemokhanasuzulasa. Or any other, you know, lowly midos that are found in people. Those are like imperfections in man. And Hashem doesn't have any of those. Right? So he's saying that when it says that, they're trying to do it because they're trying to, so to speak, like the kid who rebels against the parent. They're trying to get under the parent's skin. So
what does it mean every time it says Vayichar of Hashem, if Hashem doesn't have an anger? Is it supposed to like indicate that it's just from our perspective to understand.
Right, that's what he's saying. That's what I'm about to explain. But that's what he says is, Devatar Glashan Ayatam means that when you do negative actions, it harms you, and there are negative consequences towards you, and God responds and, let's say, punishes you in order to get you to the Tshuva, and that's going to be negative. So he'll do actions which are negative against you, which you describe as he's angry. So if a parent would do it, and the parent would lash out, the parent would be angry. But Hashem is not angry, he's doing actions which are exhibited by a person who has a trait of anger. But Hashem doesn't actually get angry. So that's what he's saying, is that they're doing it specifically, like again, the example of the kid. The kid is doing it to make the parent angry, because it makes them feel good that they get under the parent's skin, they get the parent angry. But it's saying is by Hashem, it's you're doing it to get me angry, but it doesn't work. You're not, it's like, it's one thing if you're doing it to the parents or to the principal and you actually got the parent angry. So at least that somehow that gives you kicks and makes you happy. But it's still stupid because it's harming you and whatever. But at least they're accomplishing your goal of getting the parent angry, which you, for whatever reason, you want to do. But here, when you say God is angry, it means nothing other than he'll do actions negative against you. So you can't get him angry. So saying it's like, you can't harm him. You can't get him angry. All you could do is you could evoke a negative action against yourself. So you're really just acting against yourself. Right? At least, again, by a principle, at least you're accomplishing that you're getting the principle angry, which you might say, okay, whatever, that's stupid, and it's going to have a negative thing. But at least you're also getting what you're trying to do, that you're getting angry, and then you're going to have to suffer the consequences. And you could judge, is it worth it? Is it worth it for the kicks I get to get the principle angry, and then I have to suffer the consequences? Maybe yes, maybe no, whatever. But the thing is, if you wouldn't get the principle angry, and all you simply is get the principle to give you a punishment, but it wouldn't in any way anger the principle in the slightest, then the whole thing is stupid. Then what are you doing? So that's what he's saying, is that they're doing it to anger me. So he's saying, besides the fact that it's dumb, because they're doing such terrible things, it's like it doesn't even, there's no such thing. He's saying, first of all, I don't get angry, because it's just a mashal. And second of all, even if I were, they're not doing, what a person gets angry at is when you're doing something against the other person, where you're harming them. So it's like by the principle, it's first of all, the principle has the capacity to get angry, and second of all, you're doing something against the principle. You're actually doing a negative thing. It's Hashem, you can't harm him and do anything to him. And he doesn't even have the quality of anger, which is a lowly, you know, human imperfection. So he's saying the whole thing, the whole reason why you're doing this is because you want to rebel. It means you want to get me angry. And the whole thing, this is nonsensical. You're just totally acting to harm yourself. So that's like the point that he's making to them. But I guess they're not going to hear this. I mean, I don't know if you could tell this to them or whatever. It's interesting. It's not, I don't know if he's saying tell this to them. He's explaining this to Yirmiyahu, how it's like how corrupt they are. They're like not even, could be that's what's showing. It's like they're not even doing it for some other reason. Maybe that's part of the point of conflict. It's like if they're doing it in order to get axe, he'll say they know it's wrong, but they're doing it because they want to get axe. And they're conflict. Again, there's a conflict. But here it's like they're not doing it for any reason. They're just doing it to rebel. So just their entire personality is just anti-God. So what are you going to do? There's no way to reach people like that. It's like their whole goal is to anger God. And it's stupid. The only thing I guess maybe you could do is try to point that out to them, but I guess they're not interested. You know? Yeah, I mean, it's very interesting, right? It's an interesting point. Think about how a person's rebelliousness against God isn't easily counterproductive. It doesn't even accomplish what your kind of rebelliousness ordinarily would accomplish. On its own level, it doesn't make sense.
I was more thinking of the other aspect of it, which is the more perfected you are, then the less likely you are to get angry at something. You know, like there's
mm-hmm.
you just
yes.
You know, it's one of those things that you should be at the opposite
right.
extreme, right?
Right.
There's no there's no middle ground
right.
with anger.
Right.
Just basically remove yourself completely from getting angry,
mm-hmm.
which is very hard to
mm-hmm.
easy to say, very
right.
hard to do.
Right. But anything is like Hashem Baruch Hu is altogether immune from this, because the whole parsha is a human emotion.
Yeah.
You know? It's interesting. All it means when you say Hashem is getting angry, it means he's going to do actions which look like what an angry person does. So all it means is you're, what are you doing? You're causing God to act against you. So that's what you're accomplishing. By your whole rebellion, what are you doing? The only thing you're doing is you're causing a negative action against yourself. That's what could be stupider than that. Right? So you're not, you think you're rebelling against God, but it's not against God, it's against yourself. Right?
So it's even more childish than what kids do.
Yes, right. At least the kids accomplish that they get under the parent's skin. Which makes them feel good, and it gives them some whatever psychological benefit they get from that, but at least they accomplish what they're trying to do. It may not be worth it, and that's the question. Is it worth it? Is it not worth it? Maybe it is worth it for them. You know? Because now, they are getting something. Now you have to weigh, is it worth it? Is it not worth it? Depends how angry you get. If you get really angry, maybe it is worth it for them. Maybe they really like that, or whatever. But here, depends on the consequences they have to balance. But it's saying, but if there is no anger, all there is are actions. Like if a kid is simply going to do these actions to the parents, and the parents are going to be totally calm and collected, it does not affect them in the slightest. And they just simply give them a consequence. Then the kid's going to realize, this is stupid, what am I doing? I'm not accomplishing anything. It's a good lesson, actually. And then the kid will realize very quickly, if all they get is a negative consequence, without any reaction or anger, or it doesn't irk you, then what's the point? What are they doing?
It works really well with whining toddlers.
Yeah.
Like if you don't react at all to the whining,
right.
just like
right.
completely don't give in to it, like, or show any kind of emotion. I've found that that's the only way to stop the whining. As soon as you give into it, you'll hear whining until they're in college.
I mean, they're trying to, that's, they're trying to get,
they're trying to get under your skin with the whining.
I mean, it'll be effective, because then you basically have to decide, is it worth it? They get something out of angering the parents, out of whatever, and then they also, you know, suffer a consequence, so then they have to decide, there's an economics to the thing, sometimes it's worth, sometimes it's not. But if there is simply, all there is a consequence, then what are they doing? They're just going to do it to harm themselves? That's not really fun. What are you, what's the point of that? Yeah. Interesting, right? Okay, any on the phone? Any questions, comments? Still working, right?
Yeah.
Alright. So I guess that's it for now.
I just had a strange thought. Is it possible that they were...